Good morning. It's time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your host this morning, as usual, W.K. and Ken Boyce. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
You okay this morning, Dan?
Doing great. Good to see you.
Good to be here. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone who's listening this morning, and I also would like to welcome those who are listening to us audio streaming through our website at springfieldmfi.com. I'd like to say hello to Belva in Oregon and Tebby in Houston, Texas. Got people listening in Kentucky as well as up in Washington State. So just like to welcome everyone here and like to welcome also those who are listening of our friends in Jefferson City. Ken and I will be in Jefferson City this weekend.
Looking forward to it.
We sure are. It's going to be an exciting time. This is a place where Jefferson City is where we used to live. And we're going to go back and visit some old friends, meet some new friends, and have an opportunity to speak there. We'll be at the Fairgrounds Road Church of Christ on Saturday afternoon. If you're living in that area, please come join us.
Yeah, it's amazing because being able to go up there, this radio show is what gave us the chance to be able to go back.
That's right.
One of our friends from Jeff City actually was driving through the area, picked up KWTO, and he said, you know, I know those two. And one of them I knew when he was just a little boy. So we are looking forward to that. Past few weeks, we've talked about how do I know if I, as an individual, need counseling? How do I know if my child needs counseling? And then last week, we spoke about how do I know if we need counseling? We were able to address several of these issues and take them on one by one. A lot of people ask us, though, why do we need counseling or what is counseling? To be able to explore that and say, it's not the preconceived notions that we have. It's not these negative connotations. It's not some images of psychiatrists in these 1950s hospital rooms, and you go in the white lab coat, and it's very sterile, very cold.
It's very clinical.
Very clinical. We have images of, if you like, Good Will Hunting. Robin Williams did this one of a guy in a 70s scruff beard, 70s shirt, and a little hole-in-the-wall, dust-filled, book-filled room.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many mental images. Some of maybe of a lady that used to be our junior high principal, had a superiority complex about her. We have all kinds of images of what we think counseling might mean or what it is. Mm-hmm. Take all of those things that we think about and throw them right in the trash can. And hopefully over the last 16 weeks, I think we're now been on the air, you're able to see kind of what counseling can be or is. And that's what we hope, is that we're able to help people live the life to the fullest. It's your life. It's your choice. Make it a great one. That is the very essence of what we do.
You know, some people just exist every day, and they just go through their daily routine. They just think that this is all that life is about. They've never known anything really differently than what they have done today, which was a replication of what they did yesterday, and last week, and last month, and last year.
Which is a replication of what their parents did, in many cases.
So true.
What their grandparents did, and what we know is that, and we'll find out later this morning, all the way back to great-grandparents.
Yeah, our lives are lived in the context of four generations. I don't know how many of us are aware of that, but our lives increasingly, and it's growing to five generations because the lifespan is
extending.
Extending, yeah. So we have people who are living much longer than people have lived before. We have between 10 and 20,000 people in this country that are well over 100 years of age. Many of them are very active, thriving, successful, and wouldn't have it any other way. So we live our lives in the emotional context of four generations. And we need to understand that many of the issues we have in our life today, we are resolving the issues of our grandparents or the stresses that they encountered. We had a lady call last week and say, you know, we didn't used to have counselors. How come we need counselors today? Well, I admire many people call the greatest generation in this country who went through the Depression, went through World War II, and truly are great people. But many of their stresses, many of the things that they endured are passed down to their children and grandchildren, and those emotional issues are being faced by those people today.
The sense of family and the sense of commitment is one thing that they did have. When they were married,
yes, they did.
It was till death do us part. It's that same backbone, that same fortitude inside that allowed us to achieve victory in World War II. It's the same mentality that brought us out of the Depression. They have a strength and an internal core value of going, if I make my promise, this is my promise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what ended up not being passed down effectively. The problems went right down through there. So without having the fortitude of saying, I made a promise, I made a vow, my marriage is for life, if you take that away, then if all the problems come down from the from those generations, then it's just a way to try to escape.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's important to realize also that a lot of the assumptions, just the fundamental truths that two, three generations ago built their lives upon, belief in God, belief in country, belief in truth, belief in a right and wrong, absolute right and wrong, absolute truth, objective truth. Those basic assumptions are being questioned today by our younger generations. And many of our younger generations are just tossing them out the window and say that there is no ultimate truth, there is no objective truth, there is no absolute authority. They question the existence of God, delegitimize God's word as the truth. And so they're left with a lot of relative truth. You know, what is whatever's true for me is true for me, and but it may not be true for you. And so we have marriages built upon these assumptions, and we have marriages in the world of hurt. We have families in the world of hurt who are facing the problems that every generation faces, but there's no real moral guideline or compass in which to understand, first of all, the problem, and second of all, how do you really resolve these issues?
I'm going to defend my generation just a little bit because I think, quite frankly, it was the generation before. I think it was really the baby boomers.
Thank you very much, yeah.
I think it was the baby boomers that kind of threw it out. You know, they had the burning of the bras in the 70s and 60s and 70s, et cetera.
Yes, we did.
My generation's left there going, okay, we have the grandparents, we have my parents, which one's right? And a lot of us are looking at it going, you know, my parents' generation, a lot of them were divorced. And that's not something I want. So my generation's sitting there looking at the evidence of what happened when there was a certain set of core beliefs and principles that were passed down, and when you throw those out the window. My generation gets to look at both results going, okay, which one do I want from my family? I want to have a family. I want to have my family strong. I want it to last my lifetime. I want to raise my children to know right and wrong and to have good lives for them. So I'm standing up for my generation.
Well, and you're right, but there are many in my generation and in yours.
Oh, yeah.
Who are just tossing out the baby with the bathwater.
Oh, yeah.
Who are denying any kind of absolute morals, absolute truth, absolute honesty. So they're left with really nothing but subjective feelings to guide their lives.
And that gets to one of the questions I wanted to ask. What is a counselor? What does it take to become a counselor? What philosophies are there to operate from? I wanted to build on what is a counselor, because most of our, again, as we started the program, most of what we conceive in our minds what a counselor does really just needs to be thrown in the trash can. It's stereotypical. It has nothing to do with what reality is.
Yeah, it's not about real life.
It's not about real life. One too many TV shows, possibly. But as a licensed professional, someone who helps people on a daily basis, for those of us that have never seen it, that have this mental image that's not right, what is a counselor?
A counselor is a person who loves to work with people. Most counselors have just innate ability, an ability that they were born with, to relate to people, to empathize with others, to empathize with problems of others, to see not only what is going on, but also to desire to help those individuals to grow or to facilitate their strengthening, to want them to see things differently in life, that they can move forward on their own. A counselor is not somebody who wants to run someone's life. In fact, a counselor that wants to run your life, you need to run from the counselor. A counselor is there to facilitate growth and healing and strengthening within a value system that is conducive to healing and growth and strengthening.
Now you said the system there. What are the philosophies that counselors operate from? I know there's a couple different ones.
Well, one is certainly a secular humanistic system that simply says whatever you feel like is right, whatever you feel like is the best for your life, then that's what you need to do. Because that's a system, the humanistic secular system, even postmodern system that they're operating from, which is your truth and my truth is mine. But they also say, if this marriage isn't working for you, get out of it. If these children really aren't what you want, are not acting the way that you want, then you're free to leave. And you can break apart your family. Another system of belief is a Christian value system. A Christian value system that says there is an absolute truth, there are absolute principles, there's a higher authority than simply me or you or government, and that we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to live our lives according to the principles that are in place of absolute truth. things like morality, honesty, and truthfulness, accountability, responsibility, which determines our relationship and the level of intimacy that we can achieve in our life. And so there are two really competing philosophies or mindsets in our country today, the humanistic secular and the Christian value system.
Now, what kind of training do you have to become a licensed counselor? This is a state license, right?
State license, you're right. Okay. Every state has their own licensure requirements. Mm-hmm. In Missouri, for a licensed professional counselor, you need to have at least a master's level of graduate work in either psychology, marriage and family therapy, social work, or one of the disciplines like that.
Mm-hmm.
You need 3,000 contact hours of counseling with a supervisor. And within that 3,000 hours, you need 200 hours of direct supervision. And so it takes probably 2 to 3 years of a person after they get out of their graduate program, after they graduate, to work within an institute or a private setting or even within a private practice with a supervisor. 2 to 3 years to receive those 3,000 hours and 200 supervised hours.
And in the fields of study, you mentioned several, whether it's psychology, counseling,
mm-hmm.
marriage and family therapy. What are some of the things that are studied and learned in those different systems?
Well, it's different things. One is certainly the mind, how the mind operates, just the psychology, how people think, how people develop beliefs, how behaviors are developed according to belief systems,
mm-hmm.
the physiology of the brain, the physiology of the body, certainly. But also beyond that, if it's in marriage and family therapy especially, learning how to see the patterns in relationships, the communication patterns, the behavior patterns that are so important if a person is going to do marriage and family counseling.
Uh-huh.
In individual counseling, it's more looking at the emotional, the psychological, and how the physical aspects of the body, hormones, chemical imbalances, those types of things, cause or contribute toward depression or anxiety or schizophrenia or those types of things.
So quite a wide spectrum from the physical to the mental emotional, from the basic biology to family systems.
Absolutely. And if being trained within a Christian value system, then there are the spiritual component of the individual is being addressed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's those three. It's a kind of a bio, psycho, social, spiritual paradigm.
So for one of the counselors at Springfield MFI that isn't a licensed professional counselor, you may hear the term LPC.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking then at what, 8-9 years of training to
Yes.
From start to finish, and what's the overall cost to be able to complete the master's level, plus your supervision, licensure, et cetera?
Looking at somewhere between $75,000 and $100,000 in today's dollars.
Wow. To be able to help people.
Yeah.
That's what a licensed professional counselor will invest in developing and honing their skills to be able to help other people.
Yes. And that's just to get the license. That's just to get the license. To become certified by the state that you're a qualified professional to work with individuals or couples and families. Then the real work starts.
What are some of the reasons people were to seek counsel? We've covered a lot of these in some in-depth things, but mm-hmm. just some of the basic things. How do I know when I might need to seek counsel?
As an individual, most people want to see a counselor when they have talked with friends, read books, and they've looked at things, and they're just not finding answers.
Uh-huh.
They're depressed or anxious or the relationships aren't working out. Looking at going to college or career, all those types of things, that they just need someone with a higher skill level, someone that has the skills to help them know how to proceed. And that's extremely important. And it's not that people don't have any knowledge, but many times on an individual basis, I just don't have enough knowledge.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, we've had a lot of in-depth discussions. And the one way to try to make sense of this or to make it as real as I can for all of us that are not licensed professionals is all of us want to have a new car. I'm associating a new car to a marriage here, so stick with me. We all know that we have a certain type of car that we like. Me personally, if it's a convertible and it goes fast, I'm all over it. I love convertibles, especially on days like today. But the thing is, I can get in and I can look through all kinds of different convertibles and pick the one that I like. And I can drive it and enjoy it. Things are going great. You know, a year or two down the road, as that car starts to get mileage on it, as things start to age on the car itself has mechanical characteristics that have to be addressed, whether it's just basic oil change, lube filter, mm-hmm. transmission. There are other components in that car that if they stop working, I don't know how to fix.
The computer comes to mind.
The computer comes to mind. The air conditioner comes to mind. This is like marriage. We get in so many times, we go, and we have this concept of what we want in our marriage. We find this person, we absolutely fall in love, head over heels, we walk down the aisle, this is it. And so many times you get 3 years into a marriage, 4 years into a marriage, could be as little as 18 months into a marriage, and go, okay, this isn't what I thought I bought. I can't just run it at full throttle all the time without doing any maintenance on
it. This isn't what I signed up for, you know. That's how people feel.
The thing is, we have the concept of marriage, but we don't necessarily know all the ins and outs. And what you're talking about is to be able to come in, whether it's just for a tune-up, or if there's something that's really gone wrong, and have that facilitated to be able to get that back to where we wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense out there? Does that sound like a pretty clear picture? That's as real as I can make it right now at this particular moment in time. So as a counselor, as a licensed professional counselor at Springfield MFI, and we've got four of them there, four LPCs. Just in the staff, they've got almost $400,000 just in dollars spent training to be able to help someone before anyone really walks through the door.
Yeah. The investment of money, the investment of time, a lot of sacrifice involved in going through the graduate work, the countless thousands of hours you spend in addition to the money. And people have to want it awful bad. They have to want to really work with people awfully bad to get to this point.
I can tell you, from the people that I've met that are LPCs, these are people that are just absolutely incredible, incredible personalities. They're very gifted, very personable in every case, and they have a sincere heart to be able to help people. And that's a special quality. To be able to take that and hone those skills and be able to effectively supercharge someone's marriage, to be able to repair, help them facilitate making the life the best they can have. That's part of what we want to talk a little bit more after the break, is what does all this training, all this time bring to someone? If you seek counsel, it's specifically because there's a lack of knowledge, and it may be that we don't know what we don't know. But we know there's got to be a better way. And why do we wait so long to seek help?
If you want this morning to call in and talk to us this morning, the number is 862-9977. Here at the studio at long distance, it's 800-375-0056, or on your cell phone, it's star 56. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions about counseling, anything we've talked about so far in the program, just love to talk with you. You know, there's a lot of things that we look at when we look at counseling, and I know from a counselor's perspective, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that counselors who go through these programs, who go through the graduate work, they are required to look at their own issues in their own life, individually and maritally, as a family. They're required to look at these in an authentic and honest and genuine way and to address these. And they go through counseling themselves to resolve those issues. In the graduate program I was in at Abilene Christian University, we were required to go to counseling. Now, sometimes the spouses don't really understand that, but it really helps to be on that side of counseling, to understand what people are feeling from an experiential standpoint. But it also helps to resolve any issues that you have, and most of us have issues. That's one of the reasons why we go into counseling, because we really want to help with those issues.
And we'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce.
And we're back. We were talking before the break, and I gave the analogy of marriage being a lot like an automobile, and how we always want a certain type. And some of you, it's a Jeep, some of you, it's a convertible. Others, it could be a pickup truck. Doesn't matter. But we have this idea of this is what we want. And we buy it, we get this brand new one, we drive it off the showroom floor, we run it, and just enjoy it. Some of us take care of those automobiles. Some of us know how. Our fathers and grandfathers taught us, change the oil, take care of things. Some of us don't have a clue how to lift a wrench. And we find out real quick whether or not we have the capability of being able to maintain that. It does take maintenance in our marriages. It takes maintenance in our families to know how to be able to keep things running smoothly and effectively. That just takes knowledge. And we're either taught that or we're not. That comes from an individual standpoint in our lives, how we live our lives. That comes from a couple and a marriage standpoint of how we develop and nurture our marriage and how we raise our children. These things are not genetic. It just doesn't happen. These are things that are learned skills through life. And if we learned improperly, we're going to pass that down incorrect. It'll be wrong when we hand it to our children. We will see the effects of our parents' and grandparents' errors in our own life. Those are family systems. Those are things that happen as information is being passed down. And so we need to be able to know how to maintain what a healthy marriage looks like, just like we know when a car is running right and when it's not.
Yeah.
Now, if I go to a mechanic because my car is not running right or the air conditioner doesn't work, I have yet to have someone say, well, you're just crazy. Well, no, the air conditioner didn't work. I'm going to get it fixed. If the car needs to have preventive maintenance done, if I can't do the oil change, I bring someone in that can.
Yeah, you know, if you're sailing along and everything seems to be going well, and all of a sudden it stalls.
Oh, yeah, that has happened.
Happened to my pickup truck just last week. Second gear went out of it, and I don't have the knowledge to repair a transmission. I want to trust it somebody who has been to school, who knows what to do, and who can repair that second gear.
Inner workings of a transmission can be complicated.
Oh, boy. And it's not like an engine. It's different than an engine.
No, completely different.
Yeah. So we need people with specialized knowledge. It doesn't mean that we're not capable. It doesn't mean that we're not functioning. It means that we need help from time to time. There's a little boy that was sent to bed by his father, and 5 minutes later, he said, Dad, and the father said, what? I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink of water? The dad said, no, you had your chance. Lights out. 5 minutes later, Dad, what? I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water? I told you no. If you ask me again, I'll have to spank you. 5 minutes later, Dad, what? When you come in to spank me, can you bring me a drink of water? This is the way I see many marriages working, and they don't know they have a problem. They get into these repetitive patterns of getting on each other's nerves, playing games with each other, each wanting their own way and trying to find out how to get that. You know, and sometimes we need some counseling to help us with those repetitive patterns. I read in the comic strip Baby Blues this morning. Mm-hmm. A little boy came in with a turtle, and the mother says, what? You brought in a turtle? He says, don't you know we have bad luck with pets? He says, bad luck? What do you mean bad luck? She said, well, what about the hamster? It died. What about the butterfly? It died. What about the roach? It died. So the mother said, well, and he says, so what are you saying? You see some kind of pattern here? And that's what counselors do. Counselors are trained to see communication patterns, to see how effectively we're communicating, behavior patterns, what behaviors contribute to hard feelings or misunderstandings, wrong impressions. 90% of what we communicate isn't verbal, just a lot of body language. Those types of things we need to address, and sometimes we need somebody objective outside of the relationship of our marriage or family to say, this is what I see going on, mm-hmm. and this is how things can change.
And what effects have you seen from people from their first time when they walk in the door and their ideas of what this might be to when they leave? What are the differences, and what are the thoughts of many of these people you talked with? Because you've helped thousands of people over the years.
I have. You know, sometimes people come in on an individual basis, and again, like I said, they just don't know the questions to ask. They don't really know what to look for. Many times these are college age or just young adults who are starting out in life, and they're looking at a career, and they really don't know what career would fit them the best, and so I help them with that. Some couples come in who are married, and they come in. I had a couple come in not long ago and say, no, this is, we're at the brink of divorce. Actually, the lady came in first, which is usually the case, and she said, we're at the brink of divorce. I don't see any way out of this, but I thought I would try counseling just to see if there's any hope at all. And as she related to me what was going on between she and her husband, I began to understand a lot of what was happening. And I said, I really would like for your husband to come in because I really believe that you can change things, that divorce isn't the only option here.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went home, came back with her husband. He agreed to come back. And they began working on communication and clarifying understanding, those three greatest needs we talk about, understanding, acceptance, and value. And as they began to communicate more effectively and began to understand in a different way, because they were communicating differently, they began to have those needs met. And they came a grand total of 5 sessions. And they said, wow, we can't believe that we almost divorced, because it was so simple to get this back on track.
That's incredible.
It is. It is very incredible. But I have couples like that all the time.
And how long has this been going on?
This has been going on for about 10 years.
10 years of living in misery.
Yeah.
A downward spiral and getting to the point of, well, it's almost over. Let's throw one last Hail Mary and see if...
Yeah. Counseling is the last resort instead of the first response. If couples are having problems, and I say this a lot, if couples are having problems, the wife knows within 6 months, we've got a problem here. And begins telling her husband, we've got a problem here. He doesn't hear it. He doesn't see it. He keeps trying to fix it the way that men fix problems, telling her what to do, telling her how she needs to change. And so women tell their husbands for about 18 months, we've got a problem. Let's go to counseling. Let's do something about this. And about 18 months into the problem, then she decides, I've had enough of this. I'm moving out.
Here's the ultimatum.
That's the ultimatum. Then he says, oh, we've got a problem? And it is so typical. It is so typical. Men, listen to me. If your wife has said to you, we've got a problem, you've got a problem. If your sexual relationship isn't what it used to be because your wife is telling you, stay away from me, we've got a problem, then you need to come in to see about the problem. Take the initiative. The wife, most of all, wants you to take the lead into helping your marriage be everything it can be. She doesn't want to drag you kicking and screaming into counseling. She doesn't want that, but she will if that's necessary. And sadly, some men just refuse to go.
But again, that's because of the preconceived ideas.
It is.
First of all, I don't want to go to what I think a stereotypical counselor is. And second, does that mean there's something wrong with me if I have to seek counsel?
That's what most men believe. But there's nothing wrong with you. It's how you're relating. It's how you're communicating or you're not communicating. How you're helping her feel understood, accepted, and valued, or how you're not. I guarantee you, men, if by what you say and what you do, your wife feels valued and accepted and understood by you, you're not going to have any problem. But to the extent she's not feeling those core needs met, you're going to have some issues.
What are some other examples that you've had?
I've had people come in with different addictions. Right now, a lot of sexual addiction among a lot of men in the internet pornography.
Uh-huh.
Have gotten hooked on pornography through the use of the internet. And what I'm finding is that many of these young men started when they were about 13. It starts about the age of 13.
Well, that's where their curiosity starts.
That's when the curiosity starts. The hormones have kicked in. But it's just so accessible.
Yeah.
And they, many times they're left unsupervised on the computer, on the internet, and they are able to pull up just about anything they want. And so because of the addictive process of pornography, they get hooked very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads on into the later years in high school and through college and into their marriage until finally one day their wife discovers it on their computer. And then they've got a problem. So the addictive process of pornography, it can be alcohol, it can be gambling, it can be anything, but just a lot of different addictive processes, especially in the young adults, 20 to 30 year age group right now.
Mm-hmm.
I work a lot with that.
And with the ones in their 40s and 50s, what are some of the things that you're working with?
A lot of those have to do with, again, communication issues. The hardest times in marriage are the first 7 years and 20 to 25 years of marriage. And so in that time, there's communication. Many times the kids have grown up and they're beginning to leave home. And the mom and dad, husband and wife, find themselves thrown back together and they have twice as much of each other than they used to have and half as much communication skill because the kids have been the focus, or money is now an issue because kids are going to college, all those types of things.
Mm-hmm. And then now in the 70s and 80s, we're seeing generations that have never seen their parents and grandparents live to these ages.
Yeah, you know, in 1956, the average lifespan was 69 years old. Today, it's almost 80 years old. That's average lifespan. So people are living much longer and addressing life issues that they didn't used to have to address. I mean, the age of retirement is now 70 in this country. It's not going to be long until it's 80. I've heard recently that 50 is the new 40. You know? And people just have to begin thinking of living longer and addressing issues as they age. Part of that are the aging issues. Part of that is financial issues. Part of that is just the decline of the physical body and what needs to be done to preserve the health.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship issues. Couples that have been married sometimes lose a spouse and remarry. And then they have a whole brand new set of issues with a second spouse that they didn't have with the first one necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So they have those types of issues.
And in all these areas, we're seeing and helping people across the spectrum.
Yes.
The difference when they go out the door, what are their lives like now? What are the comments that you're hearing?
What I'm hearing is, I can't believe we waited so long. I cannot believe we went through all this trouble for so long when help was just right here, when we could have received help early. And most times people write notes back or letters back or email us and say, thank you so much. We appreciate you so much for taking the time and helping us work through these problems, helping our child, helping our spouse, helping us as a couple.
Another thing I noticed is that people are telling their friends, it used to be that this would be something that we thought would have been shameful to keep this quiet, you know, that we're seeing a counselor. They're telling their friends. And I think that's absolutely amazing for someone that's, I'm not a counselor, but to see the effects of that, to see people telling their friends because it has made such a difference in their life. And when people come in the front door and they're talking, we're laughing, and it is so much different than the first time they walked in the door, the apprehension, the stress.
Mm-hmm.
To make that difference in people's life is just absolutely amazing to watch. And that's what I love being a part of, is being able to help people by telling others, this is what you can have. This is the life you've always wanted. And people are achieving that through Springfield Marriage and Family Institute.
Beginning with the first session, I ask people at the end of the session, what is it that's different? Is this what you expected? They said, it's not at all what I expected. This is so much better than I ever thought it could be.
If this is something you wanted, give us a call there, 882-6767. Visit us on the web at springfieldmfi.com. You have this idea of the life you've always wanted. As we said it before, it's your life, it's your choice.
Make it a great one.
We'll see you next week.